Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth devil has set them free.
Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Ukraine, remember when Biden said under his presidency the days of Putin are over? But rockets' red glare flare on multiple targets, including Kiev, where you find people that are not laughing. How do we sort through the puzzling and conflicting narratives swirling over Putin's attack on Zelensky? Trust me, it's not as straightforward as you might think. Prophetic implications of Russia's aggression against Ukraine. Already, the Signs of the Times ministries are running out with their familiar cries of, and yet there are prophetic implications of these goings-on, and rightly understood, they can help us rightly understand what's going on. Most likely, I'll have to save my comments on this particular topic for my Prophecy Course Bible study, which is presented every Sunday morning at the Lighthouse beginning at 9:30, and that's in the auditorium of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Keep your eyes on the issues. Folks, I refuse to allow the deep state manipulators to use the fog of war to provide cover for their evil deeds. And I have a message for all my friends who swim in the deep waters of conspiracy theories. Watch out for the undertow. You'll get swamped. How many of yesterday's conspiracy theories are today's conspiracy facts? But you know what I mean. Anyway, my friends and patriot colleagues, my fellow soldiers in the fight for right, my America First partners, my co-workers in the cause of truth, justice in the American way, my confederates in the effort to restore justice by the proper and legal execution of judgment upon the evildoers, my allies, you get it. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Let's talk about Ukraine. Well, 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 the deep state has succeeded to divert attention from Ghislaine's case. So now perhaps the judge can do an under-the-table, underhanded deal with that horologist, a real-time watcher, without the watchful eyes of an attentive public, huh? And so many other things. You see, how do we sort out the puzzling and conflicting narratives that are swirling about over Putin's attack on Zelensky? There was a day, it seems long, long ago, in what seems like it must be some other galaxy, when this would be pretty easy to sort out. The generation that grew up through the 50s and 70s grew up suspicious of Russia. We lived daily with concerns about Soviet aggression. Many of us remember scrambling from our seats to take cover under our desks in response to a siren while in school. Fortunately, these were never more than drills. Red Dawn never dawned. But still, at least we did not have to wear a face diaper or share our restrooms with weird perverts who pretended to be some gender other than and used that as a cover to prey upon unsuspecting young ladies in our school lavatories, which I think is worse. But after the Iron Curtain fell, I have a small piece of concrete, by the way, from that Berlin Wall. But anyway, I got the opportunity to travel into the former USSR. My wife was particularly concerned. She didn't trust those Ruskies. She thought I was going to go there and get taken and shipped off to Siberia or something. And I did go to Siberia, by the way, but I went there of my own free will. But anyway, I began my 21-day solo trip into the former USSR in Kiev. I traveled from there to Belarus, and then to Moscow, and then St. Petersburg, formerly Leningrad, back to Moscow, and then to Kiev for my return to the United States. When I landed in Kiev, Putin was transitioning from a KGB officer to a politician who would carry the torch for a quote-unquote reformed Russia. But I understand he has some nostalgia for the heady days of Sputnik and Russian dominance in Eurasia. On the other hand, if you read his bio, he refused to participate in the August coup, 1991, by the way, the same year I began my ministry there, and hardline communists rose up to reassert the Soviet empire in that coup, but it only lasted a few days, less than a week, I think. And about 2 days into that coup, I understand Vladimir Putin resigned as a KGB intelligence officer, and he told us it's because he did not agree with events. I presume he was talking about the coup that he didn't agree with. And he didn't want to be involved in the new administration. Okay. So you have a guy who grew up in the heyday of Soviet power and worked inside the Communist Party apparatchik, attained the rank of lieutenant colonel, I understand. And I think it was in 1996. And he became an assistant working with none other than the famous Russian reformer Boris Yeltsin. And from there, he became prime minister, and now he is the permanent leader of Russia. His conversion from hardline communist is nowhere made clear, not, at least not where I can find it. And his machinations to keep power don't exactly fit comfortably into a resume of one who is styled by some as favorable to democratic reforms. As for any pretension on the part of Dems, Democrats here in America to be an enemy of Putin, give me a break. Remember Washington's old maxim, deeds, not words. Hillary gave him the Uranium One deal. Hillary facilitated this while acting as Secretary of State, and the FBI uncovered evidence that Russian money, millions, were routed to the Clinton Foundation. Coincidentally, during this time, Hillary was using her influence to facilitate the sale of Uranium One to a Russian nuclear energy company. Putin likes Hillary. He probably has zero respect for her, but he won't be the first to like the services of someone he can't respect. Hillary is a political horologist. A little pirate's humor there, but you get the point. And of course, the notion that Biden is the enemy of Putin is laughable. The first thing he did was free up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was a huge benefit to Russian oil industry. And simultaneously, he initiated policies that virtually shut down American oil production. He has destroyed the United States economy and buttressed the Russian economy. Putin hates Biden? You've got to be kidding me. The footsie relationship between Democrats here and the Ruskies over there is something that's been going on for a very long time. Remember when Ted Kennedy was caught writing letters to the Kremlin undermining President Reagan's policies? Treason. And remember when Obama leaned over and, not realizing he was on an open mic, said to Medvedev, "Tell Putin I'll have more flexibility to deal with missile defense issues after the election." Wink, wink. These guys have been collaborating with Russian leadership for decades. They are all a pack of communist operatives embedded in our government, working to subvert American interests and bring America under the heel of communism, or worse, Nazi fascism. Now, friend, I don't buy the line that American Democrats are enemies of Russia. Remember, Hillary purchased a certain dossier that was created from Russian intelligence sources. So, narrative number one, Putin is getting old and wants to go down in history as the Russian leader that restored the Soviet Empire, but with a sort of hybrid free enterprise /dictatorship, sort of like China, only a nicer and gentler dictatorship. And then narrative two, this whole incursion into Ukraine is a cooperative effort to give the deep state operatives in America a cover story they can use to divert attention away from efforts here that are just getting too close for comfort at exposing the entire Nimrodian New World Order, globalist pedo cabal, and bringing down the globalist tower once again. Patriots are closing in on the 2020 election steal, the human trafficking shtick of Epstein using compromising information he gathers on important political leaders through his operations to control them, to gain control over them, and make them assets, you see, and exposing the dark underbelly of these winged goat lovers throwing their Hail Satan signs and snickering about their plans to slaughter Christ's sheep and cast off the bands and cords of Christian influence in culture and in politics. But there's a third narrative. We all know that the Biden crime family has a very lucrative arrangement with Ukraine. The deep state operatives in Ukraine. Russia, remember the Moscow mayor's wife who passed some millions or more to Hunter? And they're really deep with the CCP in China. These are things our corrupt acting president, well, he might like to keep hidden, you know. We also know that the globalist pedophile cult of corruption in the United States CIA has had a hand in executing something called color revolutions. in Belarus and in Ukraine and elsewhere. We know our CIA manipulated Ukrainian elections to oust a corrupt Russian asset placed there by Putin, and this was done under Obama's watch in 2014. We know that the CIA used neo-Nazis to facilitate their coup in 2014, and that many of these Nazis were put into political positions of significant influence after the coup. I found an article referencing three different New York Times articles where it is admitted that neo-Nazi groups participated in the regime change. Intel, gathered from ground scuttlebutt, reveals they were encouraged to participate, invited to do so by our CIA, and that some of these were planted in government positions after the regime change was completed. Of course, these articles were written to deal with facts they couldn't hide, that they couldn't deny, but to spin them into a narrative fitting the American deep state interest in protecting them and dismissing the rumors from the ground that these neo-Nazis were recruited by our CIA operatives and rewarded for their service with a, let's just say, seat at the table. And so Putin's statements indicating that he is aware of the influence of the neo-Nazis in Ukraine are simply dismissed as, you guessed it. You ready? Oh, come on. Very good. Russian disinformation. But by now we have become jaded with that ruse. We don't buy it anymore. We don't hear it the way we used to. So now when we hear Putin say his attack is intended to denazify Ukraine and protect his border, it's, different than it used to be. And then add to this that his attack has reportedly taken out several of these bio labs that he considers a threat to Russia. And, you know, we start thinking, as for Putin being unhappy that a puppet regime he put in place in Ukraine was ousted in 2014 and replaced with one answerable to America, well, you got to remember then later on, that guy was ousted and Zelensky came in. Okay? We know that before Zelensky, that corrupted leader planted or placed by CIA, did support American interests in Ukraine and built several, I think it's 11, biological laboratories in Ukraine, where medical scientists, and we all know how trustworthy they are and how implicitly we have confidence in them these days, right? Where these people mess with some of the most deadly pathogens known to mankind. And these are pretty much set up on the border with Russia. Now, of course, PolitiFact can be depended upon to shill for the Democrats. And so they write a fact-check article stating that there are no U.S.-run biological weapons labs operating in Ukraine. Right? They carefully choose their words. U.S.-run. But there are U.S.-built biological labs in Ukraine. And these labs are instituted as part of a joint effort with Ukraine to reduce the biological threat. And of course, we all know that the CCP virus did not escape a lab in Wuhan. So, you see, we can trust all this. I guess those folks at PolitiFact never read this statement that I have in my never-to-be-stained-with-nicotine hands from the Ukrainian embassy. These biolabs were set up to reduce the threat of biological warfare. How? Well, perhaps by establishing on Russia's border a kind of in-your-face counter-offensive or reminder to Russia that, hey, don't play with biological weapons. We've got them too. Now, these labs very possibly being under the control of the deep state is concerning, especially in light of the late CCP Wuhan bioweapon attack and the one Gates has recently promised. You know, of course, he didn't say, well, the Wuhan virus didn't do the job we expected. This infuriating Omicron came along. An act of God, I think. And it diluted the COVID and it worked as a kind of vaccine against it. Yeah, Gates admitted that. So the COVID virus planned attack is failing to produce the population reduction we hope for. I didn't say that. I'm just saying you got to put it all together with this Mr. Gates guy and listen to what he's been saying in his forums and so on. So really, Gates and company are all in for depopulation, friend. Gates said that another pandemic is coming. Now, he predicted, someone say facilitated the production of, the last one. So maybe we should pay attention. And having such labs under the influence of the Obama-era deep state who planted them in Ukraine, You know, I'm just saying. And we know that these people of Ukraine became unhappy with the CIA puppet president, and they put in one of their own, sort of like what happened here with Trump. We know Zelensky has had the Ukrainian deep state dog at his heels in the same manner Trump had to deal with here. And we know that Zelensky was working with Trump in an effort to clean up the swamp, like Trump was trying to clean up the swamp here. On the other hand, Ukrainian President Zelensky is not happy with the Putin attack. At least publicly, he's accusing his Russian counterpart of doing something very evil. Anyway, Zelensky has to actually run for re-election, so he's not quite a counterpart now, is he? Get it? My point here is it's confusing. Which narrative is correct? Is the truth something of a blending of parts of all three? That does seem more likely to me. Anyway, I've gone over my time, and I'm going to have to take a short break. Interesting insights continue in just a moment. I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Well, hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. One point remaining on insights drawn from the Ukraine thing. As I pointed out, sorting these things out these days is not easy. It's certainly more complicated than it was for us some few decades ago. You would have to hear the first segment to appreciate how complicated it is. Kind of overview of the three narratives that are possible. But you see, here's the deal. It's just not like it used to be. We pretty much trusted our media back then and accepted the narratives that they shaped for us. But it's different now. We don't trust them. They're a bunch of liars. It was one thing when our government involved itself in a regime change in Europe, right? But now they've done it here. And we got a taste of it for ourselves, and it's not good. And we've discovered that it's not America against Russia. It's not really Russia against Ukraine. It's not even China against this or that, well, the world. You know, the vast majority of the people in China are not interested in killing all their neighbors who believe in God. Many are. I know that. But Xi does not have general support from the people in China for his dictatorship. Which is proved, by the way, by the harsh measures he's compelled to take in order to maintain control of his country. He has to kill Christians off, for example, put them in prison and so on, because otherwise their influence would permeate all Chinese culture, and it would eventually topple his rule. You see, their country would topple, his dictatorship would fall apart, it would unravel if the truth were set free in China. Same thing here, by the way. And that's something Jesus told us, the truth shall make you free. So my point is, we can't sort these conflicts out in the old way, where we are grouping all the people together as Russians against Americans, or Ukrainians, or even Iraqis for that matter, or Chinese. It's really deep state and its globalist agenda against the freedom-loving citizens of the world. The worldwide globalist pedophile cabal against the world's normal citizen who simply wants to live free, to be left alone, to leave everyone else alone. It's the perverts against the normals. It's people who want to destroy all norms, distort reality, and break down our sense of identity and family. It's that spirit at work in the world that, well, hates Christ and his sheep and the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ in the believer moving into their world through them. I mean, it's really a spiritual battle between those who believe that, indeed, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, as opposed to those who align themselves with the spirit of Antichrist that hates that declaration and desires to destroy it and all represented by it. On one side, you have people who are driven by a spirit of oppression, whose personality, it seems, is attracted to a spirit of dictatorship. who like to control others. It's almost an act of revenge against all invisible bands and cords of social norms and expectations that they've come to resent. So they want to break them asunder. Then there are those who are comfortable living in the bands and cords of righteousness. They don't want to trade them for the bands and cords of oppression. They're comfortable with the bands and cords of law and order because they don't want to live under the bands and cords of anarchy. They're comfortable living within the confines of the laws of nature and in harmony with nature's God. It's the battle between the children of disobedience who deny and or hate God and his laws and his ways and even those laws that are part of nature that he created. They will rage. You know, a man can have a baby. So there, they just, yes, he can. It's laughable if it wasn't so pathetically serious and hurtful to both the culture and our country overall. They will insanely insist that a male can decide he's a female. It's insane. And then inter sports competition against biological females, and then actually think he's won or did something important when he beat out the women in the world. You know, it's fantasy. It's nonsense. It's insanity. And underneath it all, it's evil. And everyone who is accommodating this ridiculous nonsense is complicit with the spirit that is behind it. There are two spirits operating in this world today, the spirit of Jesus Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. With which spirit are you aligned? It's not hard to tell these days. Jesus Christ is the creator of all principalities and powers and of the physical and spiritual realms in which these principalities and powers operate. His spirit is the spirit of God, the spirit of Jesus Christ. This spirit guides us to all truth. The Spirit guides us to submit ourselves to reality as God, Jesus Christ, created it. Reality is what is in conformity to God's creation. So you're not going to look at a man and be able to contort your mind into some weird distortion and convince yourself or be convinced that you're looking at a woman. On the other hand, if you are under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist, you become angry at guys like me who point out the truth. The reality, you chafe against any restrictions laid upon you by the laws of nature and of nature's God. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And there are entire groups of people now, especially in high levels of power, that actually secretly worship Satan. But we're told that Satan is able to take captive the children of disobedience at his pleasure or at his will. The Spirit of Christ told us these people are taken captive by him, that's Satan, at his will, 2 Timothy 2:26. So we have not so brilliantly put such persons into positions of power over us, and we wonder why our country is in such a mess and why we're having our leaders, you know, drive us really to hell in a handbasket, as they say. You have lunatics running this country. Now, for my regular listeners, you know, I never use words without a sensitivity to their meaning. But for new listeners, listen, I never merely call someone a name. I'm not just being mean, trying to demean someone. I choose my words carefully. And I'm telling you, the denotative meaning of these words contribute to their connotative sense or use in which they accurately describe these ridiculous people. Study the etymology of lunatic and moron. You'll see what I mean. These people are stupid. Again, I'm not just calling names. Nothing can be more stupid. An affliction of stupefaction upon the mind of someone either so incredibly simple-minded and without a modicum of personal dignity that they are fearful to stand by their own good sense, even when they know better, when confronted by a stronger personality insisting upon something that they know is utter nonsense. Or they are in such a spiritual rage against God themselves and so at war with the laws of nature and nature's God, that they contort reality within their own foolish minds and convince themselves of lunacy. You know, like supporting the absolute nonsense of a man actually believing he's a girl instead, or that a man can have a baby. But that is not the only example. Those who continue believing Fauci is another good example. The guy's lied to us over and over and over again. I mean, unless you're just not paying attention and you're not studying it, you're just a bobblehead going along with whatever he says. But if you are aware of what's going on, you know he's lied, and he continues to lie. But all who are touched by the moon, lunatics, who have separated themselves from reality, who live in a fabricated sense of reality constructed by lies, that support their rebellion against the laws of nature and of nature's God, well, they will go on believing the lies of Fauci. Why? Because the same spirit, the lying spirit that controls him, controls their own mind and heart. They are unreasonable and wicked, the Bible says. This word wicked is from the Greek word poneros, and yeah, it is related to our word pornography, except that the word poneros speaks of the twisted mind and heart that perverts what is pure into something evil, like pornography. With regard to sexual things, the word poneros refers to the men and women, for example, who would distort that beautiful thing God made with pornography. Poneros distorts everything. It creates a distorted, twisted, bent, warped worldview in the heart of all who are under the controlling influence of the spirit of Antichrist. Well, it's clear that believing Hillary, Fauci, and all these liars is kind of a sickness. And it's only because they are politically motivated to believe them. They don't need, you know, facts to support what their belief from these people. They just need a motivation, a reason to believe them. Whether or not they're telling the truth is irrelevant. They represent a rebellion against Christ, and, well, that's all some people need. The point is, as one fellow observed, there are two sorts of people in the world. Those who divide the world into two sorts of people, and those that don't. Look, I get that. I understand what the guy's saying. But there's a great variety of persons, personalities, and so on in the world, to be sure. But when Jesus comes, interestingly, he's going to divide the people into two groups, the sheep and the goats. And there are some things that differentiate sheep from goats. The sheep, for example, are very particular about what they eat. Goats will eat anything put in front of them. Sheep have acute hearing and respond to their shepherd's voice and learn to respond to a specific voice. Goats just listen to their own instincts and do what they feel like doing at the moment. These are general characteristics, by the way. There are exceptions, of course, but that's what separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. The goats have to be herded. Goats have a mob-like social organization. The leader generally beats down opposition to rule over the rest of the herd. Sheep tend not to compete for dominance. Yeah, even though they will push to get at food when hungry, they rarely butt one another. Not so with goats. The spirit of the goats is one that competes for dominance over others. That's why goats tend to end up in leadership in our culture. But it's time for the sheep to step up and assume the positions of leadership because they're guided by the chief shepherd. Our founders warned us against allowing ungodly people to take hold of government because they don't even believe in the fundamental principle, the foundational principle of our liberty. All men are created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. Goats will devour the livelihoods of the sheep and leave nothing for them. Now, I could go on and on with this, but listen, I'm going to be in my pulpit tomorrow, the beautiful pulpit made of wood with the ship's lantern lit, and tomorrow I'll present a Bible lesson on the prophetic implications of Russia's actions in Ukraine. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call me at 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you want me to call you back, please let me know and I'll be glad to do that. Or go to brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. If you have a longer message you want to send me, find the contact button and send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses. Because freedom. Go to GodsWar2020.com.